everybody. Welcome to Friday Filibuster after our two-week sabbatical. Real quick, ambush sabbatical. Mac, what did you do on your sabbatical?
I looked for a new job.
Excellent. Eric?
I forget. I can't remember what I did.
Eric is in a haze right now. He's in an infant haze. Daryl, what did you do on your sabbatical?
I survived the storm of a lifetime.
Yeah, I did. That's good. Wow. Daryl wins.
That's a win.
That is the most dramatic. So, so we're here for a little quick Friday filibuster. We're just kind of rocking through some stuff. And let's just kick it right off. We'll kick it off with you, Mac, because I'm feeling what you'd like to share with the group tonight.
Yeah, kind of a week after everybody else, but yeah, I saw Captain America.
That's right.
And we took a trip up to Merrimack, New Hampshire there to see it. I really liked it. It was a
lot
of fun.
Right, yeah. Same here. Definitely, as I thought about it, Mac, it's like I've been so-so on a couple of the Marvel movies, but it really cursed me. They are making they're really making movies for all tastes. You know, like if you like the fantasy hero Asgard stuff, giant monsters, Thor's got you covered there, right? Right. Space and rainbow bridges and whatnot. But for someone like me, where sensibilities might be a little more, I like the grittier stuff. I mean, Captain America, Winter Soldier was definitely up my alley. I liked the first one okay. I thought the second one was a lot. I liked it a lot. I think I liked it a lot more. So that was really my kind of Marvel movie, to be honest.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of that sort of what the fans call street-level action.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the guys, not a lot of, superpowers, just guys going at it with their fists and their shield. And
probably more like a violence than any other Marvel. It's so, guys getting gunned down, it's like people being shot. That was like the violence, it wasn't like...
Yeah, it wasn't bloody,
space robots getting punched in the face or the aliens getting vaporized, right? It wasn't bloody, you're right. It wasn't
gory, but yeah, it's kind of unspoken that a lot of folks died. But even beyond that, though, I think that, the movie did a really good job of building tension throughout with it because it's very much a conspiracy thriller. Mm-hmm. And we have Cap and Black Widow sort of on the run throughout the film, and they're piecing clues together to uncover the big conspiracy. And so a lot of that's most of the film, and that part was really exciting. The
it's
actual revelation.
It's definitely the most, old white man Kabbali Marvel movie I think I've seen.
Oh, totally. Oh, totally is, yeah. The big revelation wasn't that much. It's just basically, they're going to blow stuff up.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about it, though. Isn't that a lot of the James Bond movies, too?
I mean, that's what
Bond goes on
saying,
his big adventure, and he uncovers all the clues, and then the villain's plan is just a big missile.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think that's not going to shift too much, and I think that's what they compared, right? They were comparing it to that spy movie type, and it had that feel to it. So I think, but the elements that really were, it wasn't as humorous I thought as any Marvel movie, to be honest. The fish out of water stick wasn't really accentuated much, but I thought the stuff that worked, the Winter Soldier was a great kind of heavy. I think Chris Evans has done a great job with Captain America. I think he's that's a fun character. The fight choreography was in broad daylight and easy to watch, that is appreciated. A lot of it seemed practical. Yes, when Captain America's fighting a helicopter, maybe not so much, but a lot of it seemed practically executed. And Falcon, who I'd never heard of before, I thought he was a great addition, and just kind of their friendship, partnership, I thought it was pretty well done. Makes me excited for the third movie, which is booked for 2016 already. So you have a sense of what the third movie will look like probably, but I'm actually excited to see it. So
yeah, definitely. And and also they had a great cameo in there from one of the lamest Marvel villains of all time.
Yeah, please. It was a spoiler. This is a small spoiler. It won't hurt.
It's only from the first 10 minutes of the movie, but Batroc the Leaper appears in the film.
I never heard of him at all. But anyone named the Leaper has got to be.
In the movie, he's just Batroc, and he's a lot more badass in the movie than he ever was in the comics. In the comics, he's a Frenchman who can jump really high. That's his whole thing.
Yeah.
And so can't really match up against the Hulk, but. They got this. I guess the guy who played him in the movie is an MMA fighter. So,
yeah, it looked. Again, that kind of practical stuff was.
Yeah,
I'm always up for that. I'm with you. The big explosions at the end, which you knew where they're going to come, were so-so for me. But a lot of the stuff, the action scenes before that, like that street level stuff, I thought was genuinely exciting. So,
yeah.
Yes. Anything else, Mac? Even though I kind of walked all over your segment.
No, that's fine. I also saw the documentary Jodorowsky's Dune.
Oh, yeah.
Which this is about a movie that was never made. It was the surrealist avant-garde filmmaker Alejandro Jodorowsky. He's the guy who made El Topo. Throughout the 70s, he was trying to make an adaptation of the novel Dune. This is before David Lynch's version. And it was hugely ambitious with all kinds of crazy ideas that he wanted to put on the screen.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah, the movie never got made. And this documentary is about what the movie would have been had it gotten made. And it's really trippy. This guy, Alejandro, he's just a force of nature. He's got a total, like, God complex to himself. And in the interview segments where he just, like, gets going and rambling, shooting off his mouth about anything and everything, it's just a sight to behold. This guy's a real character. So if you like movies and you like sci-fi, and especially if you like Jodorowsky's kind of completely weird movies, you got to see it because it's really a lot of fun.
Nice. All right, Daryl, how about you?
Outside of – since we last talked, I guess the only thing I've really watched is I worked my way through True Detective.
Okay.
Which was excellent. And we talked about it, Dave, and I, a little bit. But it was – I think I was expecting what it was, so it wasn't as impactful maybe as you found it. Mm-hmm. But a heck of a time for 8 episodes.
Very nice. And you want to talk about your storm experience real quick?
It was scary.
Were you having a little bit of Noah flashbacks or Twister flashbacks, perhaps?
You know? Well, you know, it might have been my that I had expressed my agnostic spiritual views.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And you think
in public heavenly twice.
Homing missile? Heavenly homing missile, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, and seriously, homing missile, like the storm cell, the supercell, formed about 5 miles southwest of us.
Wow.
And you could see it forming. And then the wind changed, and I saw my big, you know, weekly trash can flying over, literally over a car, and then I got in the closet, and then
and that's when you saw Jamie Gertz, right?
Yes. and then it was like tennis ball sized hail was pelting the house for about 3 minutes while I stood scared in the dark. And it was scary.
Well, it's been beautiful up here around my house, so take that for what it's worth.
Well, you had a crappy winter, so there.
<Maybe not. laughs> Eric, how about you? What do you have?
Let's see. I guess a little bit on the Captain. I have not seen Captain America yet. I want to see it this weekend. I haven't been in the movies in a while. I did spend a month reading Marvel Comics with the Marvel Unlimited. Mm. You know, they did a 99 cents for a month, which is a pretty great promo. I actually read a bunch of Captain America comics. There was a Winter Soldier run, I guess, in 2005, I think, that I read. That who knows how much of it has to do with the movie. I'll find out soon, hopefully. Checked out – been watching Community all along the season, of course, and last week's episode was particularly impressive.
It was an interesting episode. Have you seen it yet, Dave?
So I have – really been lax with my Community viewing, though we did fire up the Dungeons and Dragons one recently. So
that's good.
I'm trying to get back on the horse. I guess I'm going through some Donald Glover withdrawal, perhaps. So
yeah.
This one was excellent.
Okay, yeah,
particularly good.
Yeah, I'll need to tap into it for sure.
Probably the most pure form of that, like taking some sort of form of the media and then just playing it out to its logical conclusion and taking it as far as it can go. I'm not sure that the actual reason behind why they do it was as compelling as what they did with it, but I thought it worked so well it didn't really matter. So I'll wait until you actually see it. I don't want to give anything
away. All right, yeah. I've got a general sense of what to expect, but I'm looking forward to it for sure.
Yeah. I also caught up with now that Game of Thrones season 3 is out on DVD and stuff. I got barter from the library and finally watched it. It's interesting to watch it now because I'm in the beginning of book 5 right now. I've been reading ahead. So everything that happens in the show, it's like, oh yeah, I remember that. It's like, oh yeah. And now, and it's weird. I can't watch the show the same way I did before. I knew it was going to happen.
Oh,
but you know, you kind of like figure out, you know, kind of figure that's the way it's going to be. And I guess I'd rather have the quote unquote full experience. But It was still a very good season, and kind of knowing what's coming, not saying anything about it, I think the season four is going to be quite a thrill ride for those who don't know what's
I don't. Coming. I have made that decision not to
That's
read
good.
The books. That is really? Journey yeah. along with the show. So
I think, and I think there's a lot of big stuff coming, and if the season ends the way the third book ends, I think it's going to blow some people's minds.
All right, good times.
So that'll be fun.
That's it. No more talking. So, that Breaking Bad are off the table. Breaking Bad and Shawshank Redemption. We're not talking. No spoilers. So okay. So real quick, I just want to, Daryl, we've kind of dumped on the show here and there, but I just want to say I feel like Parks and Rec has been getting back to form recently. I don't know if you feel the same way.
This season's been good.
I think the season's better, and I honestly think it's because, like, Leslie's back with the Parks and Rec department. I just think
it wasn't
a good fit for her. So
it got really broad when she was a city council person. And now that now that's all dedicated back to the Parks Department, they get back to the
jokes. Interaction. So all those characters are interacting with each other again.
Yeah, and, you know, what's his name? Jerry is now Larry, because
that's
just what it is. And you've got the things with, Chris Pratt, who's been fantastic. And,
we've had some, like, legendary Ron Swanson moments, I think, this season as well.
Excellent.
That stack up. So I think it's been a show I've really enjoyed again. I just think it reminds me more of, like, the season two and season three, you know, when they were
mm-hmm.
– and then I don't really miss the departure, you know, of, you know, Rashida Jones and –
Rashida Jones has never been an interesting
character
in anything I've ever seen her in.
So anyway, I think they're kind of got their groove back, so I've been enjoying that. So I just want to – I know we've dumped on it a bit, but it's been – something I've been looking forward to. So okay,
I kind of wish that they would lay off the Larry stuff. I know it's kind of like a central thing. It's a show about people who are just horribly mean to one person.
You're kind of right.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's a show about jerks.
I would
I would agree with that.
Like it worked in the other episodes because they were really throwaway gags. Like it seems like the hard stuff is, you know, the hardcore anti Larry stuff has kind of come to the forefront a little more. It seems whole plot lines are devoted to, you know, dropping a deuce on this poor guy. So when he was more in the background and they were a lot of non sequiturs, that's what worked, right? You know, like when Tom would just come out with something, it had nothing related to anything, you know, so.
Yeah, I mean, it's a show that I think was kind of built on these very kind of, you know, stylized versions of people and everyone kind of defined by certain characteristics. And it was played kind of broadly in the sense that, you know, you didn't have a lot of character development. But you've gotten more of that, and you've kind of gotten to know when people become sympathetic and, you know, in different ways and have grown in certain ways, and then you kind of revert back to this, you know, anti-Larry stuff. I loved it when, you know, Ben did the Captain My Captain thing, and then, of course, they had to ruin it with the fart gag. But, you know, I agree. I think Parks and Rec has been
I just don't think he's a compelling character to get that much spotlight, period. I think he's a good background guy, you know, to get – a joke here or there, or get you know some special attention, like when they go to his house and they see his hot wife and all that.
Yeah,
that's
he could be. They could. I mean, he seems like probably the most sympathetic person on the show. If they gave him, you know, where's the Larry spinoff? That's what I want. I want
God,
Larry.
God help us. All right, so let's move on. Stuff we've got come out for the site over a couple of weeks back, but what do you have right up in front that's interesting, Mac? Right back to you.
Let's see. Finished up a review, more superhero stuff of Green Lantern, the animated series. This is from 2011, so it was timed with the Ryan Reynolds movie, but don't let that scare you. Mm-hmm. I was initially turned off from the show just because of the visual style, but all the fans kept saying, no, it's really great. So I went back for this review, and I rewatched the whole series, and it's every episode is just on these two-disc Blu-ray. And yeah, it actually is better than I gave it credit for. You know, there's sort of the whole thing mostly takes place in outer space. So you've got Green Lantern and all the other lanterns, you know, flying around space and meeting aliens and having cosmic battles and stuff. And a lot of people think that that's really the good stuff of Green Lantern and not so much the Earth-based stuff. And they're fighting the Red Lanterns or the villains in this one. Each episode builds on the next in a certain way, so that's every episode adds something new to the story or adds some new character beat that progresses things along, and I really enjoyed that. So I guess it is a better show than I give it credit for. My big problem is just the style of the CG animation, everything looks like it's made of plastic. The people, the aliens, the planets, you know, the environments, it's everything is just that same one texture. You know? And part of the appeal of CG animation is that you can give things different textures so that a rock isn't just a drawing of a rock. You can give it a rock-like texture so it really looks like a rock. But on this show, it's just a rock-shaped piece of plastic. So if you can somehow get your mind around those visual styles, and if you like the Green Lantern character, definitely check it out.
All right, very good. And for some reason, I don't know why this occurred to me, but I have – quick digression. Daryl, I have to ask you. I know you're not into it as much anymore, but your thoughts on the streak ending.
It's funny. I got recently – I was seduced by – the WWE Network
nice.
Deal.
You ponied up.
So I've been watching a lot of wrestling recently again for the first time in a while, and by a lot I mean a lot. And
it's okay. You're among friends here.
It's a good deal.
It's a safe place.
It's a really good deal. And so
you're not alone. I feel like my Twitter feed is filled with people watching wrestling right now, which is pretty fascinating.
Well, and they're like begging you to watch their product by giving you 6 pay-per-views for the price of 1, spread out over a 6-month payment plan. It's with the hundreds of hours of content on the actual in the actual WWE Network service, it's a pretty hard thing to pass up. It had to happen, Dave. It had to happen eventually. The streak, the streak ending. You can't retire in wrestling. He could never retire with that streak active because that's not how wrestling works. And that dude is old.
Yeah, he is old. 49. 49. Yeah, the Undertaker we're talking about here. Yeah,
The Undertaker. I've been watching him since we used to get World Class Championship Wrestling feeds off of ESPN. When I was growing up back in about 1987 or 8. And so when he was Mean Mark Calloway, I guess. And the dude's old.
Yeah.
So it had to end. And
well, there you go. All right. Well, you're back in the enclave. All right. Sorry to disrupt. So why don't you actually keep talking if you got anything of coming up.
Oh, it's actually good that you asked me that question because I've got literally nothing.
Good. All right. So very good. Nice. Eric, how about you? Have you been squeeze anything in?
I've actually been reviewing a fair amount. You know, because I am pigeonholed as a certain type of reviewer, you know, I review 12 Years a Slave one week and Frozen the next because, you know, I'm predictable. But this week I'm reviewing a BBC series called Broadchurch.
Yes, I do want to hear about that.
Speaking of a true detective connection. It feels kind of like that show. It seems like it's a one, and I think they're doing a second season, but it feels like a self-contained story, 8 episodes, another 8 episode show. And one of the reasons I want to check it out, besides the fact that I love these kind of murder mystery things, is that the leads are played by David Tennant of Doctor Who fame and Olivia Colman, who I think a lot of people would recognize from as one of the cops in Hot Fuzz, and also from and also from Peep Show. Yeah, and also from Peep Show. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's a great British sitcom, and she was very funny on that. But I'd also seen her in a dramatic role. There's a movie called Tyrannosaur. It was actually directed by Patty Considine, who is one of the guys in The World's End. I can't remember anyone's name in that movie, even though I've seen it a billion times.
He's
a great actor, and this is, I think, it was just his directorial debut. And she plays a woman who's being abused, actually, by the guy who plays Peter in The World's End. It's kind of an interesting connection. But so I've seen her in a dramatic role, and I knew that she could be really good. I really like her, so I wanted to check him out, and it's really great. They do a great job of building a compelling mystery. There's a lot of great characters. They do a lot of interesting. You know, foreshadowing in retrospect, and they do something that I think is very difficult to do. After watching, I remember watching the series The Killing, which was on AMC, and that is one of many shows that basically gets a shows someone in such an utter state of grief that they can't do anything, and it just kills the momentum for that character and just basically kind of drags the show down for a long time. And that was a show that started off strong, at least in the first season, and then just kind of just dragged down for a long time. And what they do in Broadchurch, and they do a really good job of showing, you know, this family who's, you know, experienced a realistic amount of grief, but in a way that doesn't slow down what's happening. It's kind of a hard way to describe it, but that's something that I appreciate, because I've seen so many shows where a character kind of gets into a bad place, and that's just kind of the end of that character for several episodes because they can't figure out a way to write the character that, you know, to show that kind of grief without just stopping them dead in their tracks. There's a really great relationship between those two lead characters and everything that comes down. I think some people may or may not like the resolution of the mystery. I think it works. I think it's it's kind of a bold choice without giving anything away. I think it's really good. I absolutely recommend it. I'm not sure what they're going to do for a second season, but I'd definitely check it out. I heard after I saw it, I was kind of just mentioning it online, and I found out that they're remaking the show for an American audience, but with David Tennant still in the lead.
I did hear that too. Yeah.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
My guess is you probably want to check out the British version, first. I'm not sure that it could be repeated, in an American, for an American audience, an American TV show. It's interesting, kind of in a different way. It reminds me also a bit of True Detective in that its setting is very unique. It takes place in this coastal town with these giant cliffs that kind of take over, and they're kind of always looming in the background. So it's, you know, distinctive setting, great characters, good mystery. Thumbs up, stars, whatever. Whatever we do on the show. You know.
Very good.
Busters up.
You're good. For me, it's nothing. I've been like speedballing Power Rangers like you wouldn't believe. I just went through seasons 13 through 17. Another humongous, and I've got two more Power Rangers just sitting on the shelf to review. So I've been on fire. So you're talking about being pigeonholed. I am all about the Power Rangers. But I do have to – quick shout out. Speaking of wrestling, I reviewed a very kind of goofy, sort of surreal movie, the Scooby-Doo WrestleMania movie.
There was an ad for that on something that I watched, some wrestling event that I watched recently.
So it was
– and it looked like the most god-awful
it's
thing.
It's pretty terrible, but it's just – it's so weird. They just like retconned Scooby and Shaggy to be the biggest wrestling flack you'll ever see. Like,
oh,
to the
God,
point,
it looked terrible.
Like Vince McMahon shows up somewhere, and they fall to their knees and say, "We're not worthy."
Oh my gosh.
They win tickets to go to WWE City, which exists apparently. They ripped off the last Starfighter to do that because Scooby scored this great score on a wrestling game. And so he got tickets.
Then, I'm glad you had to watch that.
So then obviously they go to WWE City to watch WrestleMania, but a demon ghost bear is menacing everybody, so they team up with John Cena to do it, and Scooby and Shaggy end up wrestling Kane for some reason. And
Kane's a jerk.
It is out of control. It is like WWE produced it, and that's fine, but it is such a flack for WWE. You know, it is just it's rough. You haven't lived till you've seen like jittery John Cena, animated John Cena doing the "you can't see me" thing he does.
Oh,
so.
My God. And you know what? On that note, WWE Productions, you know, who's obviously behind this stupid Scooby-Doo thing, is also behind my most anticipated horror movie in like 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
Oculus.
Really?
I don't remember his name. I'm not going to look it up off the top of my head. I'm not going to look it up, but I can't remember it. But the director of Absentia, which was an excellent horror movie, and this stars Karen Gillian, the Amy Pond in Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. And for no good reason, WWE is producing it. It doesn't have Kane in it, like most of their productions or anybody like that. But it looks like a really good ghost movie, and so they produced this ridiculous Scooby-Doo, and
hey, I won't knock him because I liked 12 Rounds. Okay, yeah, I thought that was a decent little action movie, so I won't knock in WWE films, but this one was pretty ridiculous. So
the trailer looks amazingly terrible.
Terrible. Okay, so let's rock it through our ambush topics. As I sit here in my own sweat from a basketball game, I rush back to get, to spend with you people. So it's starting to really, I'm starting to really ferment here. So
you, Dave, what do you mean by you people?
Oh, that's true. It came out.
What do
that came
you
out
mean by you people?
That's right. Here, Tropic Thunder quotes. I love that. Very good. Okay. Mac, why don't you kick us off? Yeah. Ambush Mac.
Okay. Well, in Captain America Winter Soldier, we have a character with a robotic arm.
Yes.
So what are some characters with strange or unusual arms?
Well, the image that jumped to mind was Freddy Krueger's freakishly long arms in Nightmare on Elm Street.
He's
through the alley. Yeah, so
that was awesome.
And there's just something about that kind of practical effect that just looks very unsettling.
I'm going to go with Inspector Gadget and his go-go gadget arms.
That's good.
That's good. Avoiding an obvious Game of Thrones spoiler, I'll go with Spider-Man. He's got web shooters.
That's true. Okay. Well, in this new one, though, isn't it genetic? Because it's like –
Probably.
Are they, what,
no,
which
in the
one
new
is
ones, in the new ones, he has the web shooters.
Yeah.
In the Sam Raimi ones, it was genetic.
That's right. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, good. We're making good time. What do you got, man?
For mine, I went back to one of my favorite shows, Futurama, and it's appropriate for your day because it was the basketball episode.
Very good.
And the professor used his cosmic chronotons to create mutant supermen from his doomsday devices to form a basketball team. And one of the players was Armo, who had five arms. He had two arms on each side and one on his back.
Useful in a basketball game.
Yeah, I don't know if that helps you in basketball, though. I mean,
yeah, I was wondering about the one on the back, if that would really help.
I guess you could get away with some fouls that way.
Yeah, probably.
Maybe you could pass to yourself. There's a lot of things. You can't really shoot with it, but you can definitely catch a pass.
Yeah, I guess you could post some guy up and, like, kidney punch him when he's not looking. That might be
right. The other players, by the way, in case you were wondering, there was Grotion, who grew to twice his height. Thorias had a cannon in his chest. Arachneon turned into a spider, like a giant spider monster. And Lazar shot laser beams out of his eyes.
Not bad. Armo seems like he got the short end of the stick with both the power and the name, I think.
Yeah, kind
of. All right. Oh, very good. I'll go next. I also reviewed The Desolation of Smog, the second Hobbit movie, which I did enjoy. But there's obviously a huge treasure hoard in this movie that Smog guards very ferociously. So, other treasure hoards, giant treasure hoards.
Got to go with Scrooge McDuck's money bin.
I was just thinking of it. Yeah,
Everyone was. That's why I said it.
I don't have a lot of memories of that show at all, but I do have one memory of his companion, maybe the kids. I don't know. They tried to dive and swim in the money, but they couldn't. Like Scrooge had a talent for diving and swimming in his gold coins.
Yeah, the gold. His gold
really
coins
strong
are kind of
legs.
Like, nah. His gold coins are kind of like Thor's hammer.
Mm. That's true. That's a good point.
I remember that episode. It was the nephews. They tried to jump and they bumped their heads.
They bumped their heads, right?
How does he do that?
Yeah. That's right. That's all I remember. That's all I think.
Yeah. Really? I watched that show all the time.
I think I did too. I just I don't know. I can't keep these things. So either I have some degenerative brain condition, or maybe it's like the Langoliers. Remember that terrible miniseries? Like, the Langoliers are just borrowing all these memories. All right. That's a terrible one. An obtuse reference.
All right. So I guess after Scrooge McDuck, the next obvious one would have to be One-Eyed Willie's.
That's good.
He's aboard his ship in the Goonies.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And somehow Mikey knew that one spot not to take from. And he just knew that by instinct, I guess.
Yeah.
Some kind of psychic connection with the long-lost One-Eyed Willie.
I think by that point, we had, like, Mikey is out. He's out to lunch. I think we've lost Mikey by then. I think. He had an extensive conversation with a skeleton. So I think
if that's the point in the movie where you start questioning the logic of Goonies,
I'm just
probably able to take attention up till then.
I guess I'm just questioning Mikey's state of mind. You know, like the Mikey has gone bye-bye. Yeah.
So. All right, I'm gonna go with the hoard that Scott Pilgrim gets after each defeat in or after each victory in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yes.
That's cool.
Nice. All right. Does he hoard that away? Does he have a place where he hoards that?
I don't. I mean, you know, I don't. I've never seen it. I never saw a store in the movie, so I don't know that he can spend the gold anywhere.
There's a gag where he's far away from one of the explosions and he grouses about not being able to get there to pick up the coins.
Ah, there you go. Okay, I'll give you no one stole any of mine, so I'll give you a bonus backup too. So one was the hoard from the Count of Monte Cristo, the Kevin Reynolds adaptation, which I actually enjoyed a decent amount. I thought that was a pretty well done movie. And then my backup was the Cape of Wonders in Aladdin, having watched that recently.
That's good.
That is an excellent hoard, but a very useless hoard. You couldn't touch anything except the lamp there, you know? It's tough. The Cave of Wonders is...
It's not very wonderful.
It's not very wonderful. It's a cave of statues and bureaucracy. Okay, Daryl, go ahead.
All right, in light of my scary horror experience, a nice softball of weather phenomenon.
Say that again? Repeat that.
Weather phenomenon.
Weather phenomenon. All right. I have so many terrible sci-fi movies that I can go to, but I don't think we need to do that.
It turns out that a lot of those sci-fi movies are right
there. Oh, yeah. the Stone Age, you were enjoying some Stonados?
Stuff is not pretty.
Well, I'm going to give you the Stonados then. The most recent sci-fi disaster movie where twisters are picking up boulders and sending the boulders flying into populated areas, and the boulders explode.
Sounds like a terrible situation.
It's a terrible situation to be in.
they made a movie called Stonados.
Stonados. Go to DVDverdict.com, click in Stonados to search, and enjoy.
It's so stupid.
It's so stupid. Yeah, it's incredible.
And let me guess, you have to wait till the last 5 minutes of the movie to actually see the Stonado.
No, they actually brought the Stonados out. So I
will good for them.
Yeah, I will give them that. This wasn't a Grizzly Rage, which I've complained about. The worst sci-fi creature feature I've ever seen. You literally get no Grizzly Raging until the last 2 minutes of the entire movie. So, yeah, but you get plenty of Stonados if that's your thing.
I guess I'll go old school, as they say, and go to the Twister from Wizard of Oz.
That's good. Very good. Or the Wizard of Song, the Fresh Beat Band's take on the Wizard of Oz. They have a Twister as well.
Oh, that's good for them. FYI. I've not seen that one. No. We went through a brief Fresh Beat Band phase.
I guess you dodged it.
Let's see. I guess I've still got superheroes on the mind, as usual. In X-Men 2, when the X-Men are making the escape in their jet, Storm uses her powers to bring down like 3 or 4 tornadoes out of the sky. And it helped them make their escape, but I wonder just how much damage do you think that caused when she did that? Or maybe it was just the forest, and only the forest was hurt and no lighthouses.
I wonder how much total damage in monetary value superheroes have caused through their history. I would have to believe it would be in the tens of billions.
Sure. Somebody did that for Avengers, and it was like in the billions.
Oh, it must be. superheroes are purveyors of wanton destruction. Good intentions aside, there.
Well, in the Marvel Universe, we do have damage control. Remember, they clean up after superhero battles. So.
Which is just more bureaucracy.
More bureaucracy.
More red tape.
All right, what's your Storm one, Daryl?
I'm going with the lightning storm in Caddyshack, where the
that's a good one.
The preacher,
yes,
is having the perfect game. And,
what does he yell at the end? That's great. What does he yell at the end?
Something
really dumb. Something Spalding would yell.
Something really dumb.
That was really dumb. Yeah, it was a yell. I don't know.
Anyway, his golf club gets struck by lightning, and his perfect game matches is broken or whatever.
But that's right.
It's fantastic.
Okay. I guess just we're all Eric. I think you're wrapping us up, right?
All right. And in you know, true Friday filibuster form, disturbing deaths.
Oof. Disturbing deaths?
Yeah, disturbing deaths. So particularly.
Why do we ask this to Daryl Anaferos, please?
Yeah, hold on. Wait,
can we invent or fun?
Okay, fine. Inventive deaths. I'm gonna calibrate for Daryl. What's your average, you know, human being would find disturbing? Not because you, I don't even want to imagine what.
No, it's not pretty.
Inventive.
Thank you for sparing us and their listeners.
All right, sorry.
The darkness that lurks within his soul. Okay.
True Detective actually worked on that end.
It did. It was very disturbing.
It really does for the disturbing end of that.
Well, let's not go there. So you can... I will say this. Okay, how about we'll go a different one. We'll go for a different one. But speaking of Noah, this isn't super spoilery, but I thought it's an animal death when they throw that fox or deer or whatever to the hordes of men and they just tear the deer apart. You know?
Yeah. It's... I didn't actually like the effect. I thought the effect was kind of blocky, but the concept was awesome.
Yeah, there was pretty much this live animal, deer, or whatever, was thrown to men as they were, and they just ripped it apart essentially. So, yeah, that was, even though it wasn't a person, it was still kind of like, these guys are gonna get theirs. That's what I was thinking, right? These people, they'll get theirs.
Let's see. I just a couple of weeks ago I rewatched Dr. No, the first James Bond movie, and Dr. No gets his end by being dropped into a big thing of acid. He's like boiled to death.
That's rough.
Yeah, and a lot of that movie still feels really contemporary.
You know, a movie, a Bond movie I haven't seen. That's I don't know how I've avoided that one, but I just have never seen that one. It's never been on or anything, so
it's been on a lot.
Has it? Okay, then I'm out. Oh, that's right. I don't watch TV as much as I should. I actually have it here on DVD.
Perhaps you've seen the Fresh Beat version.
I have. Okay.
Not sure. Yes, I think it was called.
Okay, so my favorite horror movie, inventive horror movie death, is I think it's Nightmare on Elm Street 3, where...
Can I guess? Try to guess yours?
Yes,
see if we're on the same wavelength, possibly?
Yeah.
Is it maybe I have the wrong one, but is it the tendon puppet?
No, that's a good one.
It is part three.
It is part three. Okay.
And Nightmare on Elm Street is singular in its murder inventiveness, but I think it's three where the victim, the teen. Gets eaten by Freddy Krueger, who has turned into a carpet.
Oh, I do not remember this.
And rolls himself around her and I guess eats her carpet wise. I don't know. But that always stuck with me as a lot of fun.
Nice. Boy, I don't recall this one.
I could be making it up.
I could.
In my infinite amount of Nightmare on Elm Street / fiction.
But you have to admit, the tendon puppet one is right.
It's quite good. No, yeah. There's a lot of good stuff in the Elm Street canon.
There is.
The stupid stuff is still fun in there, where the stupid stuff in the Hellraiser sequels are terrible.
Power Glove one is so stupid. All right.
Is it my turn?
Is it Mac? Did you go already? Did we miss that?
Yes.
All right.
So I've been I'm finally caught up now. I've been watching Hannibal. Has anyone else seen that show?
I've heard good things about it.
It's very good. It is a show. I mean, honestly, like the deaths in True Detective are disturbing. Hannibal tops them.
Really?
It's insane. It takes place in a world where the most sadistic and inventive serial killers operate on a daily basis. There's like, I mean, it's crazy. I mean,
so like, you know, there's WWE City, and then here is like serial killer city.
It's great, yeah. I mean, there's the whole thing at the very beginning of the series. There's someone who's like were like mounted on like antlers from a you know, deer antlers. And that's like the most normal death in the show. There's one episode where someone has made a totem pole of body parts.
Oh, jeez.
And hoisted it into the air. I mean, it's crazy.
And on regular broadcast network TV too, huh?
Yes. And I actually last week was the first time I'd watched it. I watched it live. It's on Amazon Instant Video, the first season. So I watched it that way. And then sort of been catching up on the second season. And last Friday was the first time I watched an episode live. It comes with more warnings, like before, like during commercial breaks. It's like a pack of cigarettes on TV. it's crazy. It's worth watching, though.
Jeez. And who's like, real quick, is Hannibal the anti-hero? Or, I mean, is there like a regular protagonist there?
Yeah, there is, and there's a conflict, and they're characters out of, I guess, Red Dragon, the novel.
Okay.
They're reimagined. I've only seen Red Dragon the movie, and you get bits and pieces. So like the Ed Norton character in Red Dragon, who's Will Harris, I think his name is. I should know because I'm, or Will okay. something or other.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's that character's in the show. And Hannibal's in the show, and I guess it's essentially before any of that stuff, before he gets caught, and he's working with the FBI.
Okay.
So.
All right. All right, nice.
Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff, and it's crazy. It's insane. It's insane.
Okay. Wow. I had no idea. That's what we're dealing with. Very good. And just to correct the record, the bishop screams rat farts. So, there you go.
Well, that's from Leviticus.
That's true. It's from Leviticus. So, okay, that is it. We are done. Thank you for listening. FridayFilibuster@DVDVert.com is the email. I had nothing else to add, so Mac, take it away.
Zoinks, Scoob.